Perseverance, a great virtue, an important one. I'd even say it's really a critical virtue to have. And, you know, we're inspired by great stories of perseverance. And since tomorrow happens to be Martin Luther King Jr. Day, right? Let me just mention that story for a moment. I mean, there's a man who saw a big problem, racism, in our nation, and it hurt people that he loved. It blinded people, and it kept our nation divided. And yeah, slavery had been gone from our nation for 100 years, but schools and buses and drinking fountains and even churches kept people separate, still elevated one race over another, and it was wrong. Well, how is a young black preacher in the 1960s going to change that for a nation? You know those famous words that King spoke about the dream that he had, right? Dream that his four little children would one day live in a nation where they wouldn't be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. A great dream. But again, how could he make that happen? Well, I won't take the time to list the speeches and protests and beatings and times in prison that were all a part of the story. But Martin Luther King Jr. persevered through a lot. And just before he was assassinated, he spoke prophetically about seeing the promised land, that dream fulfilled of racism being gone, and that he may not be able to enter that promised land, but we're going to get there. And through persistent, peaceful, nonviolent means, with love as the goal, Martin Luther King Jr. did indeed change a nation. Not every heart has been changed, and we've got a long way to go. But we've come a long way as a nation towards becoming the place that King dreamed of. And folks, it never would have happened without perseverance. Some serious perseverance. Ray Kroc is the founder, or the late founder of McDonald's, right? He knew this too. Listen to his words. He said, "Nothing in this world can take the place of persistence." He said, "Talent won't. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with great talent." He said, "Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts." But persistence, determination, and love are omnipotent. Wow. Interesting words. So today we begin a series through the book of James, and it begins with a call to perseverance. How important is perseverance to us? I mean, sure, if you're going to try to start a business empire or transform a nation, you need a lot of persistence. But what about regular people like us, you know, just trying to get through life and trying to have a relationship with God? What role does perseverance play for the regular person? Well, let me remind you of some words. Look at verse 12. Once again, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he stood the test, he'll receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." Folks, blessing, a crown of life for eternity. That's what comes to the one who perseveres. Wow, that's big. So, perseverance does some pretty monumental things in our lives if we do persevere. And that may not be enjoyable, the things that we have to endure, but it produces very valuable results. Third, how you get it. How do you get this thing, perseverance? Well, if it hasn't already become clear, we don't become overcomers by having nothing to overcome. And you don't develop perseverance unless you've got to go through some stuff. James says it simply in verse 3, "The testing of your faith develops perseverance." I mean, not just faith that God exists, but your faith in who God really is. When that gets tested, That develops perseverance. When you find yourself in situations that tempt you to wonder about God, to wonder if his promises and all the things that this book says about God, you start to wonder, are they really true? Will they be true for me? Those times when, though you might not dare to admit it out loud, there's a whisper in the back of your head that says, you know, this faith in God business is a nice fairy tale. And you're really tempted to believe that voice, right? Again, we don't often admit those things because sometimes religious people can get all judgmental on you about that. But those are the very times that God uses in our lives to build spiritual muscle when we get through those. The times that develop real perseverance. And of course, there's the danger in those times because some people do decide to believe that voice and conclude, you know what, it is all a fairy tale, and they walk away from God. But for those who in the midst of that valley of struggling with doubt, the long dry desert, the seasons of God's silence, those who through that decide, you know what, despite it all, I still believe you, Lord. I believe and I'm still yours. This beautiful quality called perseverance emerges from that. And it makes a person stronger. It makes them deeper. It makes them all the more unshakable in their faith. Again, the testing of your faith develops perseverance. You don't get it in a microwave, people. Verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Now, that promise of God to give wisdom, it's a clear promise. So many people have quoted that in times when they've needed wisdom, and that's great. But it's always important to keep things in context, all right? And as I did, look at this in context, it's not immediately apparent. What's the connection between this issue of perseverance, the testing of our faith, and asking God for wisdom? What's the connection there? And then I thought, you know, of those times when life does get hard and fear comes that everything is going to come crashing down and you won't persevere because you simply don't know how to get through it, right? That fear that can come to us that's going to be the case. And because you're just at a loss to know what to do. God, I don't know how to move forward. You're paralyzed. You're confused. You're stuck. That's when this prayer for wisdom and the promise that God will answer that prayer, that's when that becomes extremely important. Because part of perseverance is learning to say, okay, God, I'm not walking away from you, and I'm going to trust you, but I don't know how to move forward. Yet your word, God, promises wisdom for those who ask. And so, God, I'm asking. I'm begging you for the wisdom I need to get through this. I'm going to trust you for that wisdom. Show me what to do. Show me what I need to see and understand to move forward. Or show me how to get where you want me to be, even though I don't need to understand. That's how perseverance is developed. You know, it reminds me of a quote. Sometimes it's attributed to Winston Churchill, but you know, people dispute that. I don't care where it sounds like Winston Churchill, but wherever it came from, it's good advice. The quote is this: when going through hell, keep going. All right? Don't stop. That's the time when you just need to keep putting one foot in front of the other. And when faith seems crazy, keep believing. You know, people, the perseverance we need does not come easy. It's a decision every day. Keep believing. Keep trusting God. Keep walking in his ways to keep following Jesus. The recipe for perseverance, trials, right? And don't worry, those will come. I can assure you. But then, the other part, asking for wisdom and the wisdom to know how to move forward. Well, that's on us. That's a daily thing that we can't forget. So, folks, ask God for this wisdom. We all need it desperately. Point number four in your outline, important in this, the lies that can derail it, your perseverance. Lies that can derail perseverance. And this is important because what can often cause people to give up is not just the immensity of the difficulties that they're facing, but the lies that the enemy throws at us when we're weakened by the battle. And we're tempted to believe those lies. They can really be deceiving and appealing. Well, what kind of lies am I talking about? Well, the most basic one, the lie that God is not good. You know, verses 6 through 8 in the text talk about not doubting right after the verse about asking for wisdom. But, you know, doubting what? You know, and sometimes people think not doubting means that we know absolutely what God is going to do, right? And if I have any doubt about, you know, I have to know exactly what God's going to do and not doubt that, and that's what faith is. I don't think so. Uncertainty about what God is going to do is not doubt. It's just uncertainty. So it's important to understand this. We may be uncertain about what God is going to do, but we must not be uncertain about God's goodness and his character, his faithfulness to his promises, that God is good. Once we doubt that, then we are in trouble, okay? But I don't believe God would rebuke us for just not being uncertain about what he's going to do. Also, verses 16 through 18 reinforce this, warning us not to be deceived. Don't believe the lies. Remember, every good thing comes from God. We must, folks, have a rock-solid belief in God's goodness in order for our faith to persevere. Another lie is that bad things are caused by God. Look at verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Folks, people can get some really twisted ideas about the kind of things that God will do. That horrible things that happen in our world, well, that's God's will, you know? Some people are so quick to think that they're encouraging someone going through a terrible trial by saying, you know, somehow about how, well, you know, God caused it. And sometimes that makes a person then think, well, if that's who God is, that he would cause this, then I'm not sure I want to go with that kind of a God. Folks, let's be clear. God is not the author of evil. And horrible things that people have to endure in this world, it is not helpful to ascribe God as the cause of those horrible things. Yes, he obviously allows things, but we can wrestle with why. And I won't attempt an answer at that for right now. But let's be clear, God does not cause evil. Don't let confusion about that hamper your faith or cause you to trip up somebody else's faith. It's a lie. Another lie is that God isn't fair. Verses 9 through 11, and again, you might wonder, how does it fit the context? But it talks about comparing those in humble circumstances and those in better circumstances. And James reminds us, it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. You're going to have trials. They'll be different from someone else's. But don't believe the lie that God isn't fair and that you're the only one with problems. You know, we can all make a case for how we're the real victims and our problems are bigger than somebody else's. The person who doesn't have what they need is worried about how they're going to get what they need. And the person who does have what they need is worried about losing what they have. Because James says it'll all pass away like a wildflower. And so envy, focusing on what someone else has, that is, it might cause you to believe the lie that God isn't fair, and that can derail your perseverance in the faith. Don't let that happen. Don't let it happen. Satan's lies may be the biggest hindrance to our perseverance. And so we really need to cling to the truth and be clear about about some of these truths, and boils down to the biggest thing is God is good. Don't ever let Satan cause you to doubt that. So, perseverance. You know the saying, you've heard it, maybe said it, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over but expecting a different result. Right? You've heard that? And I get the point of that. You know, sometimes you really have to assess what you're doing. Sometimes a change of direction is called for. But that could also be the definition of biblical perseverance, of doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Keep doing the same thing, keep believing, keep praying, to keep moving in a direction that might appear to be going nowhere by the evidence. But you do so because it's true, because it's right, and God has promised to honor you in due time when you obey. Folks, it might seem insane to the world for you to keep following God, to keep praying, to keep obeying God's word, especially when it seems to produce no tangible results. But there will come a day when a different result will come, when Jesus comes back and richly rewards your faithfulness and your perseverance. Today, I'm sure there's someone here today who feels like maybe you're hanging on by your fingernails, and life has been difficult, and you're weary, and you're not sure how you can endure. If that's you today, I say, folks, God knows. God knows and he sees, and he will richly reward your perseverance. Just hang on. Hang on. And I believe that God wants us today to act out our perseverance, to just do something real to say to God and to ourselves, I'm going to persevere. And so today, if there's something that you sense that God wants you to do, something that God wants to do, all right, you've sensed something that God wants to do and you've asked for God to do that, but it didn't happen, and so you just kind of gave up asking, you know what? Ask again. Even if you've given up asking, ask again. Persevere. You know, when Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened, the tense of that, it could actually be expressed, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. And so, during our closing hymn, if that's you, if that applies to you, I invite you to come to the altar rail and, you know what? Ask again. Seek again. Knock on the door of heaven again. Or, if in the past you sensed God's direction, you know, something that he was leading you to, something you just really felt God was calling you to, and you started down that path, but after a while, it didn't seem to work out, it didn't bear fruit, so you just stopped and you got off that path. You know what? Get back on it. Get back on it. And again, I invite you to the altar rail to restore your perseverance in the path that God has set for you. Maybe this applies to you. Those lies have really been not just whispered in your ear, but screamed in your ear. As you've struggled with hard things and the enemy just really wants you to let go of your faith, I invite you to come to the altar rail and just establish again, you are the Lord's child and you're not turning back. Whatever your situation, let's just make this a holy time and a holy place where we decisively commit once again to persevering to the end. Before we pray, one final word of encouragement from Hebrews chapter 10. He said, you know, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Faith perseveres. Let's pray. God, I thank you that your promises are clear in Scripture. And thank you, God, for these challenging words of calling us to persevere. And just, but they're encouraging because we need them, Lord, to give us courage in the battle and to help us know that this isn't new. This isn't strange, the struggle, the battles. It's not unusual. It is, you said this is how it's going to be, but it's okay because if we endure, it's worth it, and the promises are sure. God, for those who struggle, help them. Oh God, give strength. Lord, give us all that we need to endure, to overcome, to persevere. And may it all be, oh God, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn number 309 is a great hymn. We speak to our soul, and words that I think speak to